You are listening to the Loikamania Pop Culture Podcast. Is brought to you by CheapGraphicNovels.com, where you can purchase your favorite trade paperbacks and hardcovers for up to 45% off cover price.
How's it going, everyone? You're listening to another brand new episode of Loikamania. Of course, I'm Pat Loika, and I'm once again joined by one of my co-hosts, Mr. Antonio Cuneo.
What's up, people?
Welcome back, and you got
you. Thank you.
And you're here with better sound quality because you have a new headset.
So yeah, no... people who listen to pro wrestling noise knows I tend to fade in and out.
Yeah, well, no more of that this time. This week we're kind of focusing on a topic which we tend to do here in the show every now and then. This time with today being March 1, which happened to be Creator Owned Day apparently online. And the Image Expo just concluded. I figured it'd be a good time to talk Image Comics. And there's nobody better to talk about Image Comics than our guest today, Mr. Mark Lombardi. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hey guys, thanks for having me.
Hey man, we've been kind of looking forward to having you on for a while because of all the good stuff that's being announced. For those who don't know, Mark works for Shadowline, which is one of the Image imprints, one of the many houses within Image. What exactly do you do for Shadowline for those who are uninitiated?
If you read any of the comics and you flip into that first page where you see everyone's names, they'll list me as communications. And basically what that means is if you go to ShadowlineOnline.com and you see any of the web comics, I'm not the guy who writes them or draws them, but I'm the one who puts them up on the website. I also run their social networking and just general all-around PR and marketing type guy. So if I'm not writing the press release, I'm the one that's distributing it and kind of spamming all the message boards with the Shadowline news.
That must be a fun gig because you get to see kind of the inner workings of Shadowline and see what's coming up, and you kind of get the heads up before everyone else as to what's coming out and what's good.
Yeah, there was a lot of this stuff that was announced at the Image Expo that I actually knew about a couple months ago. Uh-huh. And sadly, there are other projects that I know that are in the making that haven't even been announced yet, so I can't even really talk about those as much as I'd like to. But, it's the good with the bad a little bit sometimes, too, because there are projects that really never got off the ground.
That's got to be rough when you kind of get yourself in that mindset where this is going to happen, awesome, and then it falls apart.
You get really excited about a potential project, and when it doesn't fall through, so few people know about it except for the creators who are directly involved and those of us within Shadowline. But yeah, it's a great position. I've been slowly kind of working my way up through the company the past couple of years. I really got involved with them maybe about 3 years or 4 years ago, and it's been a fantastic experience.
Now, what made you decide to pick Shadowline of all the of all the Image houses? Because I was always curious because Shadowline has been they produce a really eclectic set of books. They do everything there, and I always thought, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it's actually kind of funny. The whole thing started was back on the Image message boards, probably, like I said, four or five years ago. I was just kind of a regular on the boards. It was right around the time that Small Gods was coming out, and it wasn't really a Shadowline book, but it was, Chris Simon was one of the editors on the book, and a lot of the folks that were involved in Shadowline at some point down the road were all involved in this book, and I was a big fan. As a matter of fact, I know Antonio was a big fan because I think one of the characters was even named after him.
Yes, I remember that.
I was in an issue of Small Gods. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you were like a Colombian drug dealer or something, who died rather violently, if I recall.
Yes.
So long story short, I mean, I was kind of involved with them online for a while, and they were having a contest called Shadowline Pimp Squad, which is basically like what you'll have a normal street team for comic book companies, mm-hmm, going out promoting everything. And I just did the normal thing that I always liked doing, which was talking about the books that I love, and that was kind of what was easy about it. It wasn't me pretending to like these books and talk about them. It was genuine enjoyment. And so it really made, I don't want to call it a job, but it really made the opportunity they presented me with quite easy. And I won the contest, which didn't necessarily come with a job. It actually, you know, there were a couple of prizes involved, but I just kind of stayed on doing the same type of thing. And then eventually they, Jim Valentino and Chris Iman were kind of getting overwhelmed with all the other work that they were doing and said, look, we can't handle all this work for the website and everything. Can you help us out? And so it wasn't necessarily that I chose Shadowline over anyone, but if there was an opportunity to choose them, I certainly would have. I wouldn't have done anything differently.
Excellent. And yeah, I mean, the message boards, that is really, you know, especially back then, it was really the way to kind of get yourself noticed, and you're just shocked and surprised by who actually pays attention to what you say and what you do there. And that's kind of like how this podcast got its start. And yeah, you know, we were both all of us were on those image boards back then. So
because I mean that's when Bendis was on the board, absolutely.
Yeah, it was a really cool place to be, and unfortunately someone just had to destroy that thing, and it got hacked a couple times, and it just went to hell. And that was a surreal thing to see.
Mm-hmm.
But let's kind of move into the meat of this thing. And now that people know who you are and what you do, we can kind of start talking about this. Now, 20 years ago, a group of Marvel's like big name artists decided that hey, we don't want to do this anymore, and we want to do our thing, and we want to get paid for everything that from what we created, and they decided to start making their own comics, and they formed Image. And at first, they formed it through they were published through Malibu at first. I remember. Let's talk about how where we were when this was all happening, because back then it didn't seem that momentous or that important. We just thought, hey, these guys are doing new books, but especially when you were young, you don't really think about that much. I lived in the Philippines.
Some of us were young.
Yeah, I lived in the Philippines when all that was happening, and I remember my mom would goes to the States every couple weeks because she's a flight attendant. And she would, she goes to the comic shop close to the airport and buy me my stuff every week whenever she's there. And the shop would slip in a copy of Comic Shop News, that little newspaper thing they used to give out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I forget that.
They don't do that in my shop. But anyway, they would slip a copy of that in every bag. And when I remember just flipping through it, I saw, what? Rob Liefeld's got a new book. Is he leaving X-Force? Because at that point, because that was the era where I recognized creators and I recognized their work, and I saw that. I was shocked. I was kind of afraid. Like, what's going to happen to X-Force? Because he just started that thing. But I just thought these characters kind of look cool, and people. I mean, myself included. We kind of take Rob Liefeld for granted. But that dude has an enthusiasm and love for comics and just creating that it's very infectious.
Yeah, absolutely. He's one of those guys that it's kind of – it almost has become cool for people to rag on him. Uh-huh. And it's really – I mean it's – there. I can't think of anyone as undeserving. I mean, on his personality.
Yeah, and I may disagree with him at times, and there are things of his. Like, I also learned to recognize that maybe his stuff is just not for me anymore. But you can't help but respect the guy for what he did, and he made this initial push, I saw that, and then next thing I saw stuff about Spawn, I saw Wildcats, and then Cyberforce, and all these books started announcing these books, and I was like, oh my God, I want to get all of these books because I like all these artists.
I don't know too many people at the time who were into comics who weren't reading the books that the Image 7 weren't already working on at the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, if I mean, especially if you, I mean, unless you were like a DC only type of fan, but if you were a fan of comics and particularly if you were a fan of Marvel, you were reading Guardians of the Galaxy, you were reading X-Force, you were reading X-Men, you were reading, you know, everything that every single one of these guys were on. So when they picked up and formed this new company, you know, odds are you were reading it because you liked them. You liked their style. You're going to follow them over to these new books.
Yeah. And Antonio, I mean, I don't know how old you were back then, but
yeah,
was this something
six,
you paid attention
though,
to?
I was 6 years old, so I had no idea this was going on.
Man, you make me feel old.
I came into the... into the Image scene around the time Kirkman was getting really big. Actually, not even really big. I started buying Image when I heard about Invincible and Walking Dead, and they only had like a trade out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and actually, you know, Image. I mean, Image kind of had a rocky start, and you know, just being honest, because you know, at first, of course, if they had their initial wave of books, they were plagued by delays, unfortunately. And it, and if you think about it now, you look at it in hindsight, it's all growing pains because these guys are operating in a different, in a completely different way from the way they were operating previously, and you know, they really didn't have anything to kind of go back on. There's no, you know, there is no roadmap into, you know, the self-publishing thing that, you know, because everyone did things differently, and these guys all came from a background of them just answering to an editor and drawing, you know. So it was really interesting to see them grow. I remember when in 93, I believe, when the second wave of books started coming out, like Stormwatch, Bloodstrike Brigade, Gen 13. Man, yeah. I'm not ashamed to admit I bought all those books, and that's because I was excited and I wanted to try them out and see if there's something cool. And there were some hits, there were some misses, and that's just how it is with everything. But you know what? They, you know, people were talking about how they were not going to last 5 years or 10 years, and then they just kept going and going and going, and until like within like the last decade, I would say, would be the best way to say it. Within the last decade, they became really one of the best places to go as far as finding like a diverse line of books, great creators, new concepts. They've been putting it all out, like, especially in the last 10 years, because they had a real resurgence. And I think I think what makes them great is the fact that you know how they're the publisher of the company has always kind of revolved. You know, like we had the, you know, tenure of Eric Larson and Jim Valentino and all that, and we got to see because of them, like, all these great books come out, and I think that kind of made things a bit more, it really diversified the line. And it's not, they're not just a superhero comics publisher, because for a while people think they just do superheroes anyway, even though it's creator owned, and they started to branch out, and they put out some really good books. And now, you know, people are starting to realize how important this company is, and how this has become like a safe haven for anyone who wants to create their own books.
Yeah, if you look, I mean, you nailed it. It's if you look through the history of Image at who was the publisher at the time, mm-hmm. it really gives you a fingerprint of what the company was based on what books were out at the time, what books that they approved that particular publisher brought in. Mm-hmm. And I know Bendis himself is even, you know, not necessarily credited Jim Valentino, but has thanked Jim Valentino a number of times, basically saying, you know, he's the one that gave Powers the green light.
Yeah. And a lot of there are a lot of creators, like a lot of creators of different pedigrees that have passed through, you know, like, I mean,
there's a lot of creators that started out there and are now like some of the biggest names in comics. I mean, you just said Bendis is definitely one of them. Mm-hmm. I definitely went back and when I became a fan of Bendis and through his Marvel stuff, I definitely went back and looked at his older stuff. And, you know, I read, you know, Total Sellout and Jinx and Fire and Powers, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and of course, Torso.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, Image, who else did we see gain prominence thanks to their work on Image? Of course, Robert Kirkman.
Well, Robert Kirkman,
who is really, I think he can be credited for a lot of the good things that have happened to Image recently, and to the point where he got named a co-founder, you know, which is pretty cool.
That's pretty huge.
Yeah. It was kind of weird, though, to see Image Expo and see, you know, the group of founders that were there. I'm like, man, Jim Lee's not there. It just doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
It makes me sad that Jim Lee's not part of that group.
And there was a couple years ago, I guess, they did basically when Image United was announced. Uh-huh. All the founding seven got together at Baltimore Comic Con.
Yeah, and they and San Diego as well. They were in San Diego that year.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they did. They both cons that year, and I think that was a really great opportunity for people. You know, it wasn't exactly the 20th anniversary, but it was probably the last time, with the exception. I think there was another meeting that they all did at. I don't remember. It was Free Comic Book Day or something like that, but it was like a small signing at one of the comic shops out in Phoenix.
Yeah, they did a signing at Atomic Comics, which unfortunately is no longer with us. Right. But yeah, they did a signing there with all seven of them, and man, and seeing those guys together again at that juncture, like that, I think that was they were celebrating the 15th anniversary or something of Image.
Yeah, I think the theory was that's where they came up with the idea of doing Image United. So I guess it was before that Baltimore and San Diego tour, because, you know, just the logistics of getting those seven people together for one little signing, one little show. I mean, that's pretty amazing.
It came out of San Diego because there's this book that was going to come out about the founding of Image, which is like a history thing that I think it was from Tomorrow's. They did that, and then they did a panel to coincide with that and celebrate their 15th anniversary. At that point, they did a signing afterwards, and then all of a sudden, Image United came about. And it's unfortunate that book has not finished, or probably might not finish, and that makes me sad because that book was fun.
Yeah, it's one of these things that I think the idea itself was so grand, was so impossible to pull off, but they did it anyway. And, you know, unfortunately, it's, you know, like you said, the way that Image came out of the gate early on 20 years ago, they had the delays. And that's always kind of stayed in people's minds that, you know, that's the stigma that Image has. Oh, they're always late. Oh, they're always this. And Image United was supposed to kind of prove all those detractors wrong. And then, of course, they had the delays and stuff like that. But, you know, when you think about it, you know, Pat, and you're an artist, imagine handing every single page to six other people to complete.
Oh, yeah, that's nearly impossible. And then you know what? I give him a lot of credit for the fact that he actually made three issues go out.
Yeah. And they're working on the fourth. And, you know, I think everyone involved is still optimistic about it coming out. I don't think anyone will ever pull the plug on it and say, no, we're never going to finish it. I mean, if I were involved, obviously that's never going to happen. But if that were, you know, it's one of those deals where you probably should have waited till a couple issues were in the can before you solicit to give that lead time. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you know, that's every creator whose book is late. Mm-hmm. That's their you know, that's the saving grace of what they should have done in the beginning anyhow.
Yeah, you know what? I thought they were just really excited. And you know what? They just can't keep it to themselves, and they have to let it out. So again, I'm not mad. I'm not angry about the whole thing. I'm just like, man, I would love to see how this thing ends because it would have been cool.
Yeah.
Let's kind of move on past the founders, you know, and talk about the, you know, there's a lot of stuff coming out right now, and they announced a bunch of good stuff at Image Expo. One of the big shockers, and probably one of the best ones for me, was when they announced Grant Morrison is going to be doing a book with Image with Derek Robertson. It's called Happy. And man, Grant Morrison, that guy has not done anything outside of DC, so in a long time, you know. So now
I wish I was there to hear the keynote address that Eric Stevenson gave, because you know that was sort of like the last minute throw in. Oh, by the way, here's the last, you know, here's this other book that we're doing, and I mean, just to be able to see that reaction from the crowd must have been pretty amazing.
Yeah, and actually, let's kind of talk about that keynote, because I thought it was a really, really good. It was a great keynote address, and it's pretty inspiring, and especially for people who want to create their own stuff. You know, mm-hmm. It's great that they've kind of found their strength, and they've they've kind of they marshaled their forces, and they're really going, they're going for broke, they're bringing in as many people as they can. It looks like it feels like they're amassing an army, with all these people they're announcing. And there's quite a few announcements. First off, they were able to take Black Kiss 2 by Howard Chaykin from Dynamite, which is good because I really like Howard Chaykin. I love his work, and I'm pretty excited to see that Image is publishing that sequel to his classic work.
And it's something 15 years in the making.
Yeah.
Not more than that, even, yeah.
Yeah. Another one.
I want to mention something near and dear to my heart from this, and that's the return of Brian K. Vaughan to comic books. I mean, I know it wasn't announced, but it was definitely one of the key topics at this con. And Brian K. Vaughan was one of those guys that I started reading early in his career, so I'm just a big fan of his. And to know that he's putting out a book at Image is just really awesome. I love his work, and I don't know. I really do have a special place with Image in my heart, because it's where I knew where to go if I wanted something that wasn't DC or Marvel. And I don't know. I'm a big fan of Image. And I'm a big fan of Brian K. Vaughan, and I'm glad he's back in comics, and it's even awesome that he's doing it at Image.
It's like your favorite athlete going to your favorite sports team. It's exactly like that. I mean, for a comic book fan, and I'm right there with you, Antonio. I mean, Vaughan is one of my favorite, if not my favorite, creator. Loved every single thing he's written in every single type of genre, and to see him come to Image, I mean, it was mind blowing.
Oh yeah, that is a serious coup for them, because people weren't even thinking that he'd be doing comics again, because there were people had been talking, making jokes, and that's par for the course in among fandom and other creators. But man, when they announced that, where did that come from? And then, of course, he's doing a creator-owned book. I'm pretty psyched because aside from Brian K. Vaughan, another thing Saga has going for it is that I absolutely adore Fiona Staples' work.
Yeah.
And it's nice to see that she's going to be on a high-profile book. She did another book recently for IDW called Mystery Society, which I loved, and I wanted to see more of her work since then. Other stuff that got announced, another Phonogram. The Immaterial Girl by Kieran Gillen and Jamie McKelvey. I'm so excited for that book I love those first two volumes, and you kind of see those two guys grow with each passing book in that line. And now that they've kind of grown up, and both in McKelvey's art and in Gillen's writing, now that they're kind of at the peak of their powers, so to speak, you're going to see them revisit their creation, and I'm so excited. I'm so psyched to see what they do now. It's something I've been wanting for a long time, and they're making it happen.
Another book that was announced was Chin Music by Steve Niles and Tony Harris, which looks like, I don't know, like a mobster, but with supernatural type. I mean, I'm only going with off the cover with this, but it looks like some sort of mobster, and some with mobsters and supernatural elements tied together. Mm-hmm. But I'm a big Tony Harris fan, so I'll buy whatever he draws.
Yeah, it's nice to see Tony Harris doing stuff again, because he's kind of been away for a while. Like, he's been, I don't know what he's been up to, but I know he's got stuff coming.
War Heroes, and
since War Heroes, we haven't seen anything from him.
Yeah.
So again, very very welcome news to see him making a return and doing more new comics. And it looks like him and Steve Niles are kind of simpatico as far as their outlook on the industry. So it was only a matter of time before they finally teamed up and did something together, and it's happening. Exciting stuff. Speaking of Steve Niles, though, he and Scott Morse doing something together called Crime and Terror.
Crime and Terror, right?
And again, it seems like that's their thing, and they're focusing on their strengths. I'm actually looking forward to this because Scott Morse hasn't done a comic in forever, and I love his work. I missed Magic Pickle, which was one of his earlier works.
That's right.
That was a fun book. I missed that book, and I'm glad that he's doing. I'm glad he's doing more stuff, and I think it's an interesting combination because I've never really considered him as someone that would. That would be drawing something that's by Steve Niles because, Steve Niles has a certain type of book and the title of it itself, it's Crime and Terror. So it should be interesting to see what he does here.
The premise behind it, too, is sort of like – I don't want to necessarily call it an anthology, mm-hmm. but it's almost like a series of short stories within each issue.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
And it's – from what I understand, it's all going to – like different – they're all going to just tell – it kind of reminds me in the way that they described it, almost like 100 Bullets.
Oh, okay.
So you're kind of going to have all
you
these little tiny interconnecting stories.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I'm intrigued, and now I'm really sold on it. I mean, I'm just going to buy it for the art, but now I'm the concept, the high concept is you got me hooked.
Exactly.
Of course, Nick Spencer announced a new project with Riley Rossmo, and it's called Bedlam. I'm not entirely sure what exactly that entails, but is it through Shadowline or?
It's not actually a Shadowline, not that I'm aware. Mm-hmm. There's still some I don't want to say gray area, but it's a lot of books were announced, and that one wasn't one of the ones that was attached through Shadowline. But I mean, it's probably going along with Thief of Thieves. I don't know if it's Skybound. I don't know if it's actually Image Central. Mm-hmm. But it's funny because there are two names that have become synonymous with Shadowline, which is Riley Rossmo with Green Wake, Cowboy Ninja Viking, and Nick Spencer, of course, with Morning Glories and his history through them. Basically, what Bedlam is about at its premise is the main character was basically a serial killer who has, in essence, been cured of his serial killer-ness and is now sort of helping catch other killers. So it's people are going to draw the parallel to Dexter, I'm sure.
Uh-huh.
But it's almost like a little bit of Dexter thrown in with Law and Order because it kind of works its way into a crime drama. And I guess there's this internal struggle with the main character as to, is he going to learn – because he doesn't really know his past. That's another part of it. It's sort of been like wiped as to what he is. And I guess these little pieces of what he is going to creep back in. So I guess it's this constant struggle of mm-hmm. – I'm sorry?
You said, I just said that's really interesting. And I got to say those – there was like I know on Comic Book Resources they released two like teaser images for the book, and whoever drew those were
Walter
fucking
O'Neil.
Fantastic.
Yeah, Walter
those were
O'Neil
fantastic, and
it's,
I was like,
really...
"You got Walter O'Neil?"
Yeah, he's the cover artist on that.
Oh man!
Yeah, that's... whoever drew, yeah, he those book those teaser images. I was like, I don't know what this is about, but I want to buy this comic because it was just really striking and probably if you put it up against, the wall of whatever comics come out that month, it just stands out. Just the white
when you
and
put
the
them
red.
Together, it's this like really haunting image that kind of creates this this face. It's just, I mean, really, really neat concept behind it.
Antonio, yeah. I mean, you might remember that artist. That's Professor Oreo from the Bendis board. That's the screen name there. Remember him?
Really? Yes.
Yeah. It's about time that he does some illustration.
Yeah, I've been a big fan of his work for a long time.
Yeah, nice to see him finally getting some work. That's,
yeah.
That's
probably another Nick Spencer Bendis board connection.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, Nick has been, he's been kind of setting the world on fire with Morning Glories, which is still going and it's still going strong with Joe Eisma. And I'm a little behind on it, but man, that's one of those books that just keeps it just seems to be gaining ground every single issue, and it's really cool to see that.
I think it's going to sound like the Shadowline guy in me, but it really, and I genuinely mean this, it's one of my top three books, mm-hmm. and. You said it, Pat. Every single issue has been better than the last, and it's not just Nick's writing. I mean, Joe's art from the first issue, and he's such a humble guy. Mm-hmm. that I think he's not the type of person to jump out and call attention to himself. But and I almost wish more people did draw the attention to Joe, because his art has just grown.
Yeah, immensely. Over the last couple of years. I mean, I own the original commission from him, and I'm a fan of his stuff. I've been lucky enough to have met the guy, because he's a good dude and really hard worker. So I'm glad to see that he's getting some success out of this whole thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the covers for those books are fantastic.
Rodin Escuela
now also has another. He's doing an Image book now.
Yes. Yeah, Mind the Gap. Yeah,
which I'm looking forward to. Yeah, Jim McCann's awesome.
Yeah. There's a lot of good stuff coming up, and then let's kind of go through the rest of the announcements here real quick before we start just geeking out about
something
the
I'm
books.
Looking forward to that. I didn't know that Jupiter's Children was going to be at Image, which is the Mark Millar and Frank Quitely book. Mm-hmm. I honestly just thought that was going to be at Marvel Icon. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, that was cool. I mean, I'm
either way, I was going to buy that book. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and then there was Mara by Brian Wood.
Yes, and
Ming
drawn
Doyle.
By Ming Doyle, who is fantastic. Yeah, I'm excited about that. Also announced there is Grant. Of course, we mentioned Grant Morrison, Derek Robertson's Happy, which looks amazing. There's way too much good stuff coming up, and the funny thing is, there's a lot of stuff that's out right now that's pretty damn great as it is. We mentioned I think I don't know if we were recording when we mentioned him, but there's Curtis Weaves, Peter Panzerfaust, which was
great. And actually,
it was first issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right after the Image announcements were made, kind of simultaneously. I don't even want to say after, but one of the panels on the Sunday of the expo was the Shadowline panel, and they actually announced four other books that were coming out this year, just the Shadowline titles. And Curtis Weaves doing another book called Debris. Which basically teams him back up with Riley Rossmo. So it's the Green Wake crew back together.
Cool.
And it's, that's another one. They've sort of described it as like Red Sonja meets Transformers meets Wall-E, in like this dystopian.
Holy crap.
Miyazaki type. Yeah. I mean, it's just the whole concept behind it's great. And Green Wake was pretty awesome, and it was really sad that today was sort of the last issue. Mm-hmm. So it's really good to see these two guys back together for another series, even though it's also only a mini. But it was another big announcement that kind of slipped through. I don't want to say slipped through the cracks, but didn't. Obviously, when you're naming Grant Morrison and Tony Harris and all these other things, the Shadowline titles kind of fall by the wayside as to the big attention getters. But they announced a couple new books that seemed pretty exciting.
That sounds like a pretty ridiculously fun concept. Just the three properties that you mentioned that's really I am intrigued once again. You mentioned Riley Rossmo, another book he did that for Image that no longer is out there, Proof. A book that I loved, and I missed that book. I was hoping they would do more of that again.
Yeah, I guess the opportunity is always there at some point, but sales just weren't where they were. And, it's the sad truth when we talk about creator-owned comics that they're so reliant on sales. I mean, Marvel, DC, they have their own issues with sales and books getting canceled. But it really hits hard with a creator-owned book because unless they sell, let's be honest, how many Image titles make the top 100 in sales each month that aren't named Walking Dead? So you really have to have a pretty good following right off the bat. You can't afford for people to trade weight on a book like Proof or on a book like Green Wake and stuff like that. So it's the thing is, I think even Kirkman had said this in the beginning about Walking Dead is, the reason he did some of the stuff he did so early on in the series is because, frankly, he didn't know how long he was going to have. And, now he's in the 94th issue, I think, just came out. I'm sure he could have gone back and taken some liberties with the pacing on what he did, but not everyone has that privilege. Mm-hmm. Proof was such a great book, and I really do miss it, and I hope at some point down the line we get to see more of it.
Yeah, I agree. you know, there's tons of books right now. Why don't you name some of your favorites right now? Okay.
Go ahead, Antonio. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I have to credit our mutual friend Matt Terry for getting me into the strange talent of Luther Strode.
Yes.
Yes.
We were hanging out at New York this past October, and the guy who writes it and the artist and the writer were just at the Image booth, and Matt's like, "Hey, man, you should buy this book. It's really awesome." And he kind of called me out in front of the creator, so I was like, "All right, I guess." You know, so I bought it, and then, you know, they signed it and everything. And I mean, the art looks fantastic. I really dug the art. And then when I read the first issue, I was blown away by how much I actually really just enjoyed that book. It's, you know, it takes like that fantasy of when you're in high school and, you know, you're not really like the most athletic or popular guy, and you get superpowers, and takes it in a completely different direction than you think it was going to be. But honestly, it's just a really fun book. I've been enjoying it every month. I hope that it continues in the miniseries, because I don't think – I know it's only a 6-issue miniseries, and it's not – I think they have more stories to tell with the characters.
So yeah,
I hope it does well enough to warrant another series. And I like that book. I know Severed just finished, which I absolutely loved. That was just a fantastic horror book.
Yeah.
I'm really enjoying Heart.
Oh yeah, that is my favorite book right now, and from Image.
And, yeah, and Blair Butler is she's a really good find
she's
for
killing
them.
It. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's really. I mean, and you knew that. You knew from, you know, watching her back on G4 that it was genuine. She wasn't she wasn't just this pretty face that they put up on screen to talk about comics. You could tell instantly she was a fan.
Absolutely,
the stuff that she talked about was, you know. She was, you know, speaking of Heart, she, you know, you could tell it was coming from her heart. You could tell it was someone who absolutely loved comics. And as soon as I heard that she was attached to a project like this and saw that the concept was MMA, which was another thing that you could tell she was very much into, it was almost like this great thing that kind of funneled into a project that it made so much sense to happen at some point. And again, it's kind of one of these awesome things that it happened through Image.
Yeah, it's one of those... That book is one of those situations where, you know how they always say, you write what you know or write what you love, and that's exactly what that book's all about for her. And I'm really happy that, you know, a guy like Kevin Millen's getting noticed for that book, because
I love the art in that book.
Yeah, Millen's been he's been working his ass off forever. And that guy has been working and doing all this stuff to kind of, you know, get his name out there, and finally you put him on a project that, you know, that really put him on the map. And it's great to see his success, and now he's got more stuff coming out also through Image. Like, you know, he's got a new book coming out with Jimmy Palmiotti and Justin Gray called Create Your Own Heroes, which looks like fun.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. How about you, Mark? What are some of your favorites right now?
I am an Image whore.
Oh, yeah, we know.
I mean, you know, and I think that's part of it. I think I read so much Image that it's really hard to pick favorites. I mean, obviously, Morning Glories is, you know, at the top, or, you know, it's at the top of my list. My three favorite comics are Image books: The Walking Dead.
Of course.
And it's funny, too, because I really only got into The Walking Dead at one point because my wife was reading it. And she's a complete and total zombie fanatic.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I see her reading it, and I picked up the first trade, and I read it. And I kind of was like, you know, it's cool. Not really my thing, you know, and put it down. So then I guess at one point, again, she was really getting into it. It might have been really around the 20-something, 30-something issue. And she said, "Look, you need to give this another try." And I went back, and actually it was in the 40s at that point, because in the next 3 days I read every single issue and could not put it down. And it was like early in the 40s. I mean, all the stuff in the prison, and, you know, I don't want to commit the cardinal rule of giving away any Walking Dead spoilers on a podcast. So
no,
I won't.
But,
But I mean, it was like, it was one of those series that I don't know what was wrong with my brain when I read the first trade the first time, but I could not put it down. I had to read the whole thing. And then my other favorite is Hack Slash.
Oh, and
I loved Hack Slash back when Tim Seeley was doing it through Devil's Due, and just could not get enough of that series. And when it came to Image, again, it was one of these things that, you know, like I said earlier, it was like your favorite sports player coming to your favorite team. It was like, yes, it's through Image now, and, you know, the Omnibus and all these other things are going to start coming out, and it was really going to get the treatment because at the time, I mean, Devil's Due was having its issues, and it kind of culminated with that issue they had with Herbert West, and they were doing the stuff with Reanimator and Hack Slash, and they couldn't even get it carried through Diamond. So it was really good to see Tim bring the book over to Image, and it's been doing really well since then. There's so many other books. I mean, I love Chew.
Oh yeah,
Chew.
Oh man,
it's fantastic.
It's just, I mean, it's hysterical, and it's just, it's one of those books, and I do a lot of my comic reading on the bus to and from work, so I have no problems just sitting in public and reading books, and as a matter of fact, I kind of use that as an opportunity to get other people into comics. I'll give books away to people if I see them look kind of over and trying to check out what I'm reading. I usually carry a couple extras with me and just say, here, check this out if you're interested. Chew's one of those books that,
that's how you do it, man.
Chew is one of those books that people are always kind of looking over saying, what the hell is this guy looking at? And I mean, it's just, it's such a great book. And if I were to pick the one more book, it would be Skull Kickers.
Yes.
Jim Zub and Edwin Wang. It's such a fun book. I mean, if you were a D&D guy at all growing up, like I was, it's just hysterical. And fun. I mean, it's just it's like the comic book version of drinking a six pack.
Yeah, and you know, though, just from the title alone, you already know you're in for a barrel of fun when you get that, you know, title like Skull Kickers. I mean, seriously,
absolutely.
Some really good ones. I recommend. I mentioned Heart earlier. If anyone has not picked up Who Is Jake Ellis by Nathan Emerson and Tansy Zondrick, they need to buy
such
that
a good book.
Yeah. That's
I want to check that out, actually.
Yeah, the trade
that's,
is
that's
out,
on my
cheap.
List.
Yeah, it's pretty cheap trade. Well worth it.
Okay.
Another one is Orcstain by James Stokoe. That dude is a genius, and soon enough people are going to realize that he's that brilliant. I mean, if you've caught a glimpse of his stuff in the Marvel Strange Tales anthology book, and that he did that Galactus and Silver Surfer thing, which was phenomenal. Yeah. You should look him up. Look up his look up this book. It's called Orcstain. It's again, it's kind of in the same vein as Skull Kickers, you know, the genre of fantasy, but it's kind of wacky. It's kind of, you know, it's a bit more on the darker side, but it's great. Oh man.
Skull Kickers is kind of PG, where this is definitely a pretty soft R, if not a hard R.
Yeah. Anything by Jonathan Hickman from Image needs to be
absolutely
picked up.
Two new books this year.
Yeah,
yes.
Man. Oh, actually, it might even
which,
be three.
Actually, I don't know when you're publishing this podcast, but since today is March 1st, next week we get the first issue of the Manhattan Projects, which I am looking forward to.
Yes, me too. Manhattan. John Hickman is one of those great concept guys. You know, he has so many ideas. He has so many high concepts in his head, and I am. You know, anytime he comes up with something, I mean, his favorite thing that I've done. I mean, he's done a lot of good stuff, but I mean, for me, it's always Pax Romana that I keep coming back to, and because that is such a brilliant concept, and it's kind of relevant to what's going on in what we're going through today, you know, and it's such a fantastic book and such a timeless book. His other books.
I think my favorite Hickman book is. The Nightly News. The first time I read that, I was blown away by just by the whole thing, by his design, by his art, by the story. I loved it.
Yeah, and
I was like, and that's one of the cool things about Images is that when you, I mean, you know, Mark said how he just loves everything Image, and the awesome thing about Image is that he could read 10 books, 20 books, 30 books, and they're all different. And I'm not just saying they're all different as in, you know, it's this superhero, that superhero. No, it's all different genres. You get fantasy, you get mystery, you get
crime,
you know, noir. Yeah. I mean, Ed Brubaker's Fatale is fucking amazing.
Yeah. Man, that was another one of those things. But I was about to name that, you know, Fatale by Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips. Beautiful book, probably some of the best work from Sean Phillips, and this is a high concept book as far as Ed Brubaker is concerned, because you're mixing Lovecraftian horror with crime noir, and that's
right.
For lack of a better way to describe it, it's fucking beautiful, man. It's so good.
Yeah. 27 by Charles Soule.
Charles Soule, yes, he's one of the
Renzo Podesta. Yes. Yeah.
Yep. I've met Charles a couple times, and I definitely really, really like 27. Both series are just really great. I'm looking forward to more of that book whenever that comes out.
That's right.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, there's actually I don't even know the news on this yet, but Charles had mentioned something on Facebook the other day. He created a fan page for 27. Mm-hmm. Which is a pretty good sign for something. And actually in April, the trade for 27 Second Set will come out. So that's a good time for people to jump onto it, which I'm sure that they can pick up at cheapgraphicnovels.com.
Oh, man, someone did his homework.
I'm a pimp for everyone. Come on.
That's good.
There's apparently some news coming out on the front for 27. So keep your eyes peeled and your ears, whatever you do to ears.
To the ground? I don't know.
There you go, to the ground.
Now, instead of naming an actual project, I'm going to name a creator whose work people should be looking out for through here. They should all be looking out for Joe Casey's books. Godland is phenomenal, and it's coming to an end soon, and it makes me sad. He and Tom Scioli for the last few years have been they've kind of put their own twist into the crazy, you know, cosmic Kirby, you know, hero genre, and it's saddening to find out that thing's going to end. You know, they have some memorable characters like Basil Kronos. Other books by Joe Casey, of course, is Butcher Baker, which is phenomenal.
Yeah,
I need to read that. Yeah, that's on the list.
Good.
Such a twisted book.
It's twisted, and you know what? The thing about that book is that Joe pulls no punches. I mean, it's basically if you gave the comedian from Watchmen his own series and make him a bit more depraved, this is what you got. You know?
Yeah. If the comedian was into porn.
Yes.
That's pretty much what.
Yeah. And the thing about that book too is the back matter on that book is some of the most fascinating stuff you will ever read, because Joe Casey, just getting insight into what goes on in his head and what he thinks about what's going on in the industry and everything else is just, it's fascinating, and it's dare I say kind of educational reading. So people should be checking that book out. He's got a great back catalog for Image too, like Officer Down, which he did with Chris Burnham, just got re-released as a hardcover, and they're going to re-release Nixon's Pal soon. A book he did with Charlie Adler, who does Walking Dead, is called Cold Flesh. It was reprinted through Image as well. Image is building up a really nice catalog of collections, you know, of trades and hardcovers, and you guys should be checking some of that stuff out, seriously. We have there's quite a bit of stuff coming out this year, and it's kind of sad that sometimes stuff gets lost in the cracks. Like, were there any books recently? I mean, we mentioned Proof earlier. Any books you think that people should check out, even though it's over and it's probably we probably won't be seeing sequels or anything like that afterwards?
I could tell you a couple of mine. Dynamo 5.
Yes, Jay Ferber.
Jay Ferber and Mahmoud Arsar.
That's where he got started. And
oh, man, it was such a great – I mean, if you are into superhero stuff, I mean, if you like Invincible or Ultimate Spider-Man or anything like that, and you're not reading Dynamo 5 or you didn't read Dynamo 5, you're missing so much.
Yeah, it's one of those brilliant high concepts again. You know, these five are like the illegitimate children of like the Superman type character.
Yeah.
And each of them, each of them gets one of his superpowers.
Mm-hmm. And it was great because they even kind of did that swerve halfway through the series too, where they switched it up a bit. I mean, it's just such a good, good book.
Yeah. Actually, another one-off book, which I don't know if they'll ever do a sequel to it, but I loved it so much. It was Viking by Ivan Brandon and Nick Klein.
Nick Klein.
Oh, that was a beautiful book.
Yeah. Yeah, that was again a fantastic book, and I really hope they do more down the road because there really are not enough comics about Vikings in the world, and I love it. And that, Vikings are a thing that you know, like Northlanders has been my favorite Vertigo book for the last few years. So you know, a world without a Viking book is just wrong.
We tried. I mean, Shadowline tried. We had Cowboy Ninja Viking with Riley Rossmo and AJ Lieberman. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, I guess it was one third of the character being a Viking wasn't enough.
And well, that thing is going to that particular concept though is going to eventually come up as I think it's been optioned for a feature film or something. So who knows? We might get more down the road if it does well.
Absolutely.
There's a couple.
I was a big fan of the miniseries that Mike Oeming and Ivan Brandon did. Cross Bronx.
That was
a good book.
Yeah, that was quite great. I want to see more Hawaiian Dick.
Hey, be careful about that.
What?
You might get some emails that you're not hoping for.
Yeah, B. Claymore and whichever artist he works with on that book. I mean, he hasn't really had like a permanent artist on that book, and it's kind of affected that. But that was a fantastic book. Marine Man by Ian Churchill. Yeah. It's one of my favorite books about a year or so ago. It's just the art is such a treat. It's like I've seen Ian Churchill from when he started doing X-Men books at Marvel, and he had that style. And then he was doing other books for a while.
Yeah,
he did books for Awesome Comics, which was Rob Liefeld's publishing for a while. And he just kind of been bouncing around and he's been doing that style. And then he hurt his arm and he couldn't draw that way anymore. And now he draws like this, and this is perfect. This is gorgeous. And that book is such a fun book. It's something I would say it's an all-ages book. I mean, you know, I don't really like to trash anything, but I'm not a big Aquaman fan, but I would read Marine Man because that's a cooler character. Much cooler. Another book people should be checking out is Undying Love by Tom Coker.
Yes. Oh my God.
Gorgeous book.
Such a good book. And Tom Coker's art is I've always been a big fan of his art.
Yeah.
That's an awesome book.
Yeah. Man, I could just keep naming books. I mean, I Kill Giants is a must read.
Yes, absolutely. I've been a big Joe Kelly fan for a while, and that book, Four Eyes was really good. Mm-hmm. I was a big fan of that, and I was a big fan of Bad Dog too.
Bad Dog was another really fun one. Yeah,
yeah.
Another book, Killer of Demons by Chris Yost and Scott Wagner.
Yes. Yes.
I didn't get enough of that.
I got to geek out in front of Chris Yost when Pat had him on the podcast a couple months ago, and that was definitely a book that I was like, yes, I love this book.
Yeah. And it's amazing. I mean, kind of, you know, just in general, I mean, it's just amazing what, you know, what some of the creators that you know of will come up with when, you know, what
they're given the opportunity.
Yeah, when they have free reign and not have to worry about anything else. Yeah.
When there's not an editorial decree on what they can do with this character and what they get to create their own universe and go out. I mean, I guess it's why Image is kind of doing this ad campaign of experience creativity. Yeah. Not that, you know, and again, not to say that they're not creative with Marvel and DC books, because they are. And I mean, I'm reading DC stuff. I'm actually reading more DC stuff right now than I've read in a long time. Mm-hmm. I'm reading stuff from Marvel and I'm reading stuff from other publishers too. But the Image guys, I mean, there's got to be a reason why these big name guys are coming over, you know, to Image at this point, because they're just given that free reign.
Yeah. Yeah. And what I loved about – actually what's cool about that whole ad campaign they've been running about experience creativity is the fact that it's focused on the creators, yeah, not their concepts. There's no flashy artwork. There's nothing of that. It's a photo of the creator doing their thing, and then they got something, right, something that they said, a statement that they're making. And it's really cool, and it's inspiring for, like, you know, for, like, say, guys like us. You know, I mean, you're trying to, you know, you're trying to break in with your own, you know, writing, Mark. And
yes,
I know I've been writing here and there whenever I can. And of course, Antonio, you know, I think you and Antonio, you know, you have aspirations to write, you know, one of these days. And it's a really inspiring thing to look at because, you know, hey, look at that. This company is focusing on the guys that do the books. It's not what they do. It's about them. And they're allowed to do whatever they want. They can, you know, they could do whatever they want to do with their book, whatever cover. No one's going to tell them you need to bring that character back because he's popular. It's theirs, and they can do whatever the hell they want. And that's really the biggest appeal behind Image. You know?
That was actually one of the first things I learned when I first got into comics. Mm-hmm. It wasn't, you know, I never read a book or went out of my way to buy a book because, you know, Batman was in it. You know, I never went out and I'm like, I'm a huge Batman fan. Mm-hmm. Like, I've loved Batman ever since I can remember, mm-hmm, you know? But I didn't read Batman for years because I just didn't care who was on the books. And yeah, now you got a great writer like Scott Snyder on the books. You know, so I picked them up, but that was one of the first things I learned early on when I first started reading comics. I was like, you know what? Don't read books about the character, about whatever character is in it. Follow the people you like. Follow your favorite artists. Follow your favorite writers. And that's how I discovered, you know, Bendis's past work at Image, or how I came across, I was reading Invincible at the time, and then I came across Robert Kirkman's Walking Dead.
Yeah.
You know, and stuff like that.
There's such different concepts from the same writer. You know, you don't get that in a Marvel or DC because everything essentially is so deep-seated within that superhero universe, mm-hmm, that if someone's writing multiple books or they're writing the same characters in these books, you don't get a Robert Kirkman writing a superhero story and a zombie story. Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's, yeah.
And that was it. I mean, that's how I discovered Brian K. Vaughan. It's like, oh, I liked Y, and then he did Ex Machina, and then, you know, Runaways was always a favorite.
Yeah, and I mean, look at Runaways. I mean, when he left that book, it felt like it was missing something, and then that's how you really start to feel the impact that a creator has over a book, and any reader. I mean, you should never really force yourself into buying something you don't like, especially if a creator that you enjoy is no longer there.
Look who took over after Vaughn left, Joss Whedon, and that book couldn't survive.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, it's, you know, you pay attention to the creators you like, and then the best thing you could do for them, especially if they start doing stuff on their own, is to support them too and follow them along because, you know, it's just good for the business. It's always good for new properties and new creations to thrive. And I think more than ever, people really should be paying attention more to the creator and not the brand.
Absolutely.
Because they are the lifeblood of the industry, you know. It sucks whenever a creator leaves a book you like, but you know what? If you like that creator so much, I wouldn't say you owe it to them, but I think, you know, they've kind of earned, you know, the benefit of the doubt from you.
They've definitely earned trust.
Yeah, they've earned your trust, and you should really check out what they do, regardless of what publisher or what concept it is, because...
Well, I was just going to say, here's the thing with Marvel and DC. These books don't end.
Oh, yeah.
They don't end. So, like, once imagine if Daredevil ended after Bendis left, or even after Brubaker left. That's not going to happen at Marvel. Someone's always going to be there to either bring in a new spin or to keep the book going because... That's what Marvel does. I think the cool thing about creator-owned stuff, and I think the great thing about creator-owned stuff, and the great thing about Image, is that if the book, if you have an idea, you get to see your idea to completion. You know, you can start a book and end it whichever way you want, because you know you're writing it, and
it's or yours.
You know, it's your creation. Mm-hmm. And if you're lucky enough to get to create something like Invincible or Chew or Walking Dead or Morning Glories, where you can continue to tell your story, that's awesome. But if you choose to start a story and end it how you want, I don't think that's anything to be sad about. That's actually the fact that you get to tell the story you wanted to completion is even better.
Definitely.
It's just a better accomplishment.
Yeah. And Mark, you had something to say?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, you were saying about how you follow creators, and I think that's exactly really what happened to me. And Antonio, I'm like you. I want to like certain books. I mean, I have a Superman tattoo, so I want to like Superman. And I haven't liked Superman comics in years, and so the reboot with DC was like a great opportunity for me. And the fact that they put these huge, awesome creators on the books, you know, that's what brought me to it. But that's also what brought me to reading a book like Demon Knights. And, you know, when I saw Mike Costa's name attached to Blackhawks, Blackhawks is never a book I would have read in the past. And that brought me into that. And Nathan Edmondson on Grifter. I mean, I've always loved Grifter as a character, but having him write that, I mean, that brought me right into there. And
yeah.
That's Lemire, the thing. It's like, I will follow creators more so than I will follow characters, because it's ultimately that creator's imprint on that book that, you know, that drew me into the character. And when they're gone, it's so hard to stay in, and unless someone of that caliber comes in and picks right up, you know, I'm so much more likely to love so much of the work by one creator than I am to love so much of the work about one character. You know, go through 20 years of X-Men and pick out five or so runs that are quintessential to what you love about the book. But you can be a Grant Morrison fan and love every single thing he's done, with the exception of maybe one or two out of dozens. And you really get that when you follow creators as opposed to following a franchise or a character.
Definitely. Yeah. So we're at that point. Actually, can you believe we've been talking for an hour?
Yeah, and I could go another half hour with half of the stuff. You know, there's so many good Image books that
know today was a creator owned day.
It's kind of something that sprung up recently, and it's kind of cool, and it's fun that people are posting their creations online. Anyway, Mark. Before we kind of close out, if you're to name five Image books that people really should be picking up right now, then regardless of what studio they're from, what would it be?
Well, I'm going to cheat, and I'm not going to name any of the others that I said were awesome that I love.
Yeah.
So I'll name five brand new books that I haven't even mentioned yet, some of which may not have come out yet. Rebel Blood is coming out soon. That's another one by Riley Rossmo that he's actually co-writing with Alex Link and doing the art. And there have been a lot of teaser images. It's another it's basically a zombie story. Mm-hmm. But if you've seen the images, it's a lot of, like, animal-type zombies. And a lot of people are saying, oh, you know, it's just going to be about, like, zombie birds. And it's really not. It's zombie everything. And it just – the stuff that I've – because it's a Shadowline book, the stuff that I've been privy to on the story, it's going to blow people's minds. So I really hope a lot of people check that out when it comes out. Grim Leaper is another one that they announced at the Image Expo for the Shadowline.
Oh, yeah, that was a book I was interested in.
Yeah, and it's another Curtis Weeb book. I mean, the guy's been nonstop putting out great stuff. Curtis Weeb, and the artist is Lucio Santos. And the premise behind that is it's this couple that keeps dying these morbid, horrible deaths. And then they're reborn into complete strangers. And then one of the things that happens is, like, you know, it's not like they're just reborn as children. They will just suddenly jump into the body of an absolute stranger, and they keep finding each other and they keep meeting up. So it's kind of like this really sick, twisted love story. So it just sounds like a real lot of fun. You know, you named Saga, we named Fatale. Dancer,
yes,
is Nathan Edmondson, another book by him, and I will read anything. I mean, he's already doing The Activity.
Oh, man, that is a good book.
Oh, The Activity.
With Mitch Gerads, yeah.
It's so great. Mm-hmm. And The Activity, for me, fills that hole that Queen and Country has left. I loved Queen and Country when I started reading that, and The Activity just hits every single note that that did. So I'll say The Activity, and then God, what do I pick? What's my last one? I'll say Enormous.
Oh yes, I've been. Tim Daniel has been on the Bendis board. He's been talking about this book for a while, so I've been looking forward to it.
It's a one shot. Like, it's a 64-page Treasury edition sized one shot. Mehdi Chagour is doing the art on it, and it's just
beautiful.
The art is just gorgeous, and Tim is another one of these guys who, like Hickman, has this fantastic eye for design. That's what he does. I mean, he's a designer on the, you know, he everything pretty much you know, everything that you'll see on the Image website the Shadowline website, he designed a lot of it. I mean, the artwork we have up on Shadowline's Facebook page, you know, that's Tim's design, and he's just brought this great look to the book that, along with Mehdi's art, I mean, it's just, it's really, really cool looking. And if you like big monsters and stuff like that, I mean, you're going to love it. So I'm really excited to see that. I get to see a lot of the stuff behind the scenes, but it's like being an actor in a movie. You only see the little bits that you're involved with. So you're still really excited to see the final version of what goes out. So there's, you know, while awesome. I get peeks at things, but I really can't wait to see the finished product on so many of these books.
That's awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, Mark, we're unfortunately gotten to that point in time where we have to close out. But before we let you go, where can people find you online?
They can find me on Twitter at Mark Lombardi. You can also find me sort of on Twitter as well as at Shadowline Comic, and also on Facebook for both.
Awesome. And Antonio, where can people find you online?
People can find me at Twitter, at Antonio P. Cuneo. You can follow me on Tumblr. My blog is Red Watched and Seen. And I also have I'm part of the Pro Wrestling Noise podcast on this set of podcasts. Mm-hmm. Where we just talk about pro wrestling, or where I yell about pro wrestling.
And once again, people can find me at my usual spots, twitter.com/PatLoika. Of course, I'm also part of the Deliberate Noise Network podcast with my other show, which is Pro Wrestling Noise, which he just mentioned.
Yes.
Find me in my social networking at about.me/PatLoika, and that links you to everything PatLoika. And once again, I mean, if you've been listening to the show, I hope you were taking notes, take down some of those titles, because there's a lot of good stuff there. I mean, it doesn't even have to be an Image book. Just try something different by a creator you like, and that's outside of your comfort zone. Because if there's one thing the comic industry needs right now, it's for more people to be adventurous with their purchases. And there's plenty of good stuff out there. I mean, any genre you can think of, it's out there. I mean, you can mix, noir, crime, and Lovecraftian horror in an Ed Brubaker comic of all things. I mean, come on, you think of him, you think Captain America. He does that stuff too, and there's so much good stuff out there, and the possibilities are limitless. So
I just today I started reading The Sixth Gun by Cullen Bunn.
Yes,
and I'm two issues into that book, and I love it. It's awesome.
Fantastic.
A Western horror book.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
It's amazing what people come up with these days. So, you know, give them a try. Mark, you were going to say something before.
I was just going to say, and kind of along the lines of what you're saying, Pat, if anyone out there has any questions in terms of, hey, I only read this stuff, I only read that stuff, what do I read? Send me a message on Twitter. I will definitely recommend something to you. And I promise you, it won't just be a Shadowline book. It may not just be an Image book. I might send you to something that's IDW. But if we want people to try something different that, you know, they're not sure about, let me know. I'll definitely send you that way.
Yeah. So like I said,
we love comics.
Yeah. Comics are
amazing. We love comics. And when we say comics, it's not Marvel, DC, it's everything.
Yeah,
I love comic books so much.
Yeah. And it's just one of those things where you could tell a story and you're only bound by your imagination. And
yes,
and you know, and as much I love Marvel and DC, you know, don't get me wrong, I'm not
bashing them or anything. Me too.
But if you and the guys who do work for Image, they get to get away with everything that they want to do and put in their comic. So
absolutely,
try their books, and you won't regret it. And you'll probably find something that's for you. You'll find something that your brother could get into. You'll probably find something for your wife and even your mom, for all we know. Just try it out, because there's it's a huge sandbox that they have in Image right now.
Yes,
give them a try, and of course, remember, show your love to the creators who do these books, because it really this is all heart and soul. They're bearing everything doing these books. Please do not fucking steal them and downloading them. I'm not even joking. Don't fucking do that, because that's just wrong. Because that believe it or not, it cripples the industry, and that's why we're in such a dire straits right now. One of the reasons why it sounds bad right now. Don't do that, because that's bullshit. So until next week, guys, thank you all for listening. Next week we'll be back. We're going to have Christos Gage and Mike Costa, and we're doing the commentary track for G.I. Joe Cobra. So pick up that trade from our sponsors at cheapgraphicnovels.com, or purchase it through the comics app that you can get on the App Store. The comics app has the entire series. The first issue is free, and all the other issues are $1 each, so you can't go wrong with that book. So once again, G.I. Joe Cobra commentary next week. Pick up the book and read along as we talk about it. So again, this ending got a little long-winded, and I apologize, and I apologize for the language, but I feel very strongly about the comics industry and the people that make them. So, that's it. Everyone take care. We'll see you next week. And, Mark, thank you for joining us this week.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.